If you would stand with me, if you're able. Jude chapter 3. And I'm preaching from your scripture and your theme, which is a good one. I'm sorry, not chapter 3. Jude verse 3. Jude verse 3. And here's what Jude writes. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to focus on this thought. The church of God contending for the faith. The church of God contending for the faith. The church has a message. The church also has been given a ministry. And God expects of his church a certain morality. There's no way we can do the Lord's work without those three things in place. The message of the cross has not changed. It is the same, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The church of God contending for the faith. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and 119 disciples were gathered together in the upper room waiting to receive the promise of Jesus recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It was the day of Pentecost. While the members of the first church were all together in the upper room with one accord, there came a sudden sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the whole house where they were sitting. What appeared to be cloven or divided tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And here's the key. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow in the 21st century, as we contend for the faith, there are those who believe that only certain people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And some people believe that you can only validate being filled with the Spirit if you speak in an unknown tongue. But that's not biblical. Contending for the faith. Paul said, I would rather speak one word that people could understand than a thousand words in an unknown tongue. People have to know what the word says in order to do what the word says. How does my faith come? My faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what gives a church power, when the members are all filled with the Holy Spirit. When the members of a church intentionally take ownership of their spiritual development so that God could use them. God wants to use all of you. He wants to use you for the upbuilding of his kingdom. They were all filled and began to speak in other tongues, not unknown tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. A supernatural occurrence happened as a room filled with natural people experienced a supernatural phenomenon. Galileans, who never went to school to learn another language, began speaking so that Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, understood them in the language wherein they were born as they spoke of the wonderful works of God. When we enter the Lord's house, we can experience supernatural happenings. The 120 souls meeting in the upper room on the day of Pentecost didn't know what to expect. All they had was the words of Jesus when he told them that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's where power comes from. Anyone here know the Holy Spirit? Sometimes he seems to be a stranger in some Baptist churches, because we've given him over to the Pentecostal churches, Church of God in Christ. I want to talk this morning about reclaiming the Holy Spirit. He's given to the body of Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ that was sent by God through the Virgin Mary to die for the sins of the world, everyone that believes that he died for your sins, was laid in a tomb and raised from the grave on the third day, you are the ones to whom he has given the Holy Spirit. You didn't have to work for him. You will never deserve him. You can't buy him. He can't be so impressed with your life that he just gives himself to you. He is a gift of God to the body of Christ so that we can contend for the faith. I don't know if you've ever watched a wrestling match. Not the ones where they're jumping off the ropes and slamming each other on the floor. I'm talking about collegiate athletics, where they're on the mat and they're wrestling all these different moves. They're wrestling and they're grunting and the sweat is pouring off. That's the idea that Jude is utilizing when he says contending for the faith. Why would it be so difficult for us to spread our faith? Because there are powers out there. There are spirits out there. Demons active in the minds and hearts of people, perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God needs someone who will tell it like he sent it. That's why I love the Old Testament prophets. They wouldn't fix it up. They wouldn't tidy it up. They would simply say, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying." They weren't worried about hurting people's feelings. Matter of fact, the word says, cry aloud and spare not. Make my people know my sin. You read something here earlier. If my people, wait a minute, God's people. If my people called by my name would humble themselves, why aren't we humble? And pray. Why aren't we praying? And seek my face. Why aren't we seeking his face? Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal the land. I don't think the pandemic was a mistake. This is just my opinion. I don't think it was a mistake that God shut the churches down for a reset. Sometimes my smartphone acts real dumb. And when it gets so dumb and won't do what I needed to do and it freezes, I was told to reset it. I was told to turn it off and let it lay dormant for a while, then turn it back on. Look, the doors of the churches are opening. God has given us another chance. We got to get this thing right before the Lord comes to take his church home. Jesus explained the reason for and the expectations of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. They were to be his witnesses. The work of the first church was to engage in the work of making disciples of men and women so that they might enlist others who would consider the unspeakable sacrifice God the Father made by sending his only begotten Son into the world to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The work of the church has remained the same over centuries. Nothing has changed. What did God say? I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not going to change just because society changes. God is holy, and we are commanded to be holy. That's not a denomination, it is a characteristic of God's people. In the book of Jude, verse 3, we're exhorted to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, to work at it, to grapple with it. The book of Jude was written by the half-brother of Jesus, Jude. Jude's letter to the disciples of Christ in his day was occasioned by apostasy. The attacks against the common salvation of the believers of Jude's day was so threatening to the church that the Holy Spirit caused Jude to write this letter of warning to the believers of his day. When Jude exhorts the people to contend earnestly for the faith, he was telling them to agonize greatly towards achieving that goal. The term contend was a wrestling term. Jude is warning the people about how apostasy leads to sinful living. Apostasy was and is the act of refusing to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. It is an abandonment of previous loyalty. Some folk used to walk with the Lord, but they're not walking with him anymore. I had someone tell me the other day that they're tired of church. I didn't want to say maybe the church was tired of you, but I praise God he's never tired of us. He keeps on reaching out to us. He keeps on calling to us. How in the world can I get tired of God's church? Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I praise God for what Pastor Williams said. If we would all disappear right now, God would fill the church back up again. I was at a convention in a pastor's seminar, and one of the preachers that was presenting, one of the seminarians said to us, how many of you are waiting for the members of your congregation to return once the doors have opened after the pandemic? And a lot of our hands went up. He said, put your hands down. How long has it been since you've opened your church doors? And we all gave our number of days, years, months. He said, they haven't come back yet? We said, no. He said, they're not coming back. That kind of set us back because, you know, we were keeping hope alive. But the pandemic seemed to have given some people permission to do what was lingering in their mind until the doors closed. There are folk who have now officially become bedside Baptists. They got their house robe on and their slippers, sipping their tea. Pastor Williams up here preaching, sweat running down his face, and they're not making no sacrifice. That's not contending for the faith. When you contend for the faith, you got to have some skin in the game. There's some sacrifice required. There's some heavy lifting required. There's some fellowship, some koinonia required. God expects us not to fail the assembling of ourselves together, as is the custom of some. Contending for the faith. Jude warns them. He's warning them about apostasy. He's warning about what happens when they live loosely. This term was, again, a wrestling term. They're not wrestling hard enough to keep the faith. He warns them about how it leads to sinful living. It speaks of defecting from what was originally delivered. God delivered the gospel of Jesus Christ to us once. Paul said that if I or an angel comes preaching any other gospel than that which was first delivered, let them be accursed. I don't know if you're hearing it up here in White Plains, but there's another gospel out there. It's not the one that Jesus gave to the apostles to give to the church, the body of Christ. There are things out there like that say, as long as everybody else is doing it, it's all right for us to do. There's another philosophy out there that as long as society says this is correct, it's correct for the church too. Now, this might be my last time here after what I'm about to say. But somebody got to say something. Living together without being married is still called shacking. It's not in the will of God. You won't find it in the word. If God allowed you to come out of the womb with the equipment I have, you're a man. If God allowed you to come out of the womb with the equipment that my sister in the pink blouse has, you're a woman, a female. What is all this confusion about? I don't know if I'm a man or woman. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. The devil is a liar. And when we preach what the word says, people say that we're being mean-spirited. But watch this. If I know that the way you are living is going to cause your soul to go to hell, should I not warn you? Now, after I preach what thus said the Lord, it's up to you to live how you and the Holy Spirit figure out it's right. Now, I'm not anti-LGBTQ. No, I'm for human rights. They should have all the rights. They have a right to make their choice. And I have a right to preach the word. I'm not going to take away your rights. Don't take away my rights. I'm contending for the faith once delivered. This body of Christian doctrine, our faith, is that for which we are earnestly contend. This is no time for the church to become lazy or lackadaisical in its battle against false doctrine or doctrines of demons. You've got folk who have left the Christian faith, and now they're going back under Torah. Have you heard that up here? They're going back under Torah. They say that all of us in the Christian church are on the sinking Titanic. And they're telling our young people to leave the Christian church and join Israelites United in Christ or Hebrew followers of the Messiah. Or if it's Islam, they're saying that Christianity is the white man's religion. All of it is a lie. Matter of fact, you can go back under Torah if you want. In hell, you will lift up your eyes. Because the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be saved. The law found its end in Christ Jesus. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled it. I am in Christ. You are in Christ. The law has been fulfilled in us as well. Amen. And then this business about the white man's religion. I did a seminar on that yesterday. That's why it's so much in the forefront of my mind. The white man's religion, Christianity, the white man's religion, the white man's religion. Where was the white man when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary? Where was the Caucasian man? And this is not a slap at anyone, but let's talk facts. And I present this so we can tear down that philosophy, that myth, that Christianity is the white man's religion. See, it's called the white man's religion by Islam. It's called the white man's religion by Israelites United in Christ because they used it against us when we were in slavery. And so because some people mishandled the word and abused it and misused it and perverted it against us, there are those who are out there believing right now today that we are fools for practicing this Christianity religion. But I want to point out something. I'm wearing a belt. The belt serves a purpose. It holds up my pants. If I don't wear it, it could get rather embarrassing for me. My mother used to beat me with a belt. And boy, I deserved it a few times. I'm not going to stop using a belt because my mother beat me with one. Now, in the 21st century, I could have called 911 if I had the guts. But more than likely not. But because someone misused, misappropriated, mishandled God's holy word against me, should I hold it against God because ignorant, low-down, adulterous, murderous people kidnapped my people from Ivory West Coast of Africa? Should I turn my back on God because of them? Contending for the faith. If you want to be critical about it, it is not a white man's religion. It is not a black man's religion. It is not a Russian religion. It is not an Asian religion. It is the teachings of God's word about how to keep us on the path to go to heaven and not go to hell. It speaks of the doctrines of salvation, of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It speaks of his ascension and his soon return, looking for a church without spot or wrinkle, one that has washed his garments and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, Christianity. It's called Christianity because it started in Antioch. It was in Antioch where the enemies of the church called the people Christians. Look at them, Christians. Ain't nothing but a, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of Christians. That's how they would talk of you. But why did they call them Christians? They call them Christians because they were reflecting the life of Jesus Christ, whom they had crucified. So when people call me a Christian, I'm all right with that. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to be affiliated with Jesus, contending for the faith. I got to rush towards a close. I got to cut across the field because in these post-pandemic churches, folk don't like to sit too long. I'm contending for the faith. I'm up here sweating and you sitting there in the air conditioning and you the one getting tired. We must remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. There's a war going on. But our weapons are made mighty by the Spirit to the pulling down of strongholds. The devil has set up some beachheads in our congregations. And we must not fail to resist false doctrine, misguided ministry, and moral impurity in our churches. We must remember that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In recent years, the church of God has come under siege. It's come under siege because of the strong winds or the strange winds of doctrine that are blowing through the churches of our day and time. The devil has always sought to deface, destroy, and dilute the impact of God's church around the world. Because of a lack of study, say amen, somebody. A lack of prayer and a lack of commitment to what has been delivered to the people of God, churches are beginning to follow what Vodi Bakum calls an 11th commandment. Now, I know there are 10 commandments, But this 11th commandment was rather interesting to me, so I wanted to share it. The 11th commandment is, thou shalt be nice. And I said, wait a minute. And his argument was, we are so busy in the church trying to not offend people that we end up offending God. If I got to have somebody mad with me, it's not going to be God. If I want to have, listen, you can say mad, but there's one thing that hits me hard and cuts me deeper than somebody being mad. When they say, I'm disappointed. I don't want God to be disappointed with me. But I want God to say, that's my boy. I want God to say, yeah, that's right. Tell him like I told it to you. And so what you'll find is this. If you continue to preach like God says to preach, if we continue to study like God says to study, it will reel us in. It will bring us closer to God. We'll win our battles. God will open doors and God will make ways because he fights for his children. We're contending for the faith. Modern day churches are offering a watered down, a more socially acceptable doctrine that doesn't make people feel bad. A doctrine that requires the preachers and teachers of the gospel to be nice to people. I want to remind someone today that the Bible teaches that we're to cry aloud and spare not, making God's people know their sin. Because of the spirit of delusion at work in the world, and it's there, churches are being hit hard by apostasy. Many have left their first love. Jesus accuses the church of Ephesus in the second chapter of the book of Revelation about leaving her first love. Consider with me quickly the message of the church, ministry of the church, and morality of the church. When false doctrines are creeping into our thoughts, behaviors, and corrupting the foundation of our faith, are we actively contending for the faith? Perhaps we need to be reminded about what the church of God is, what it should stand for, and how it should exist in the world. As believers, we're commanded to walk circumspectly in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. As a people, we're to be the living stones comprising the visible church of God in the world. God commands us to come out from among them and be separate. He has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was in the Old Testament has not changed into righteousness in the New Testament. Sin is sin is sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That has not changed. At the end of our days, it's not what men or women think about God's words that we will be judged by. I still hear Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread alone. But how? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I want to submit today that we need to learn about every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God, because this is what we will be judged by. That's the message of the church. We can change, adjust, compromise, rethink, or reimagine what we believe God said. But Jude reminds us that God is uncompromising when it comes to the keeping of his commandments in the face of a dark, rebellious, and sinful world. The world is at enmity against God. The worldview of what is right and wrong is at odds with God. I want to remind somebody today that our arms are too short to box with God. We have the gospel, the message of salvation from sin through the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That message must not be changed. They're out there teaching today that there are many ways to God. I thought about that. And you know what? There are many ways to God, but they don't lead to the same end. Jesus said, for those who would be saved, I am the way. am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I want to talk to the folk who say there are many ways. I want to say, how readest thou? What are you reading? Any religion, any faith without Jesus is a simple cult. Anyone that does not believe that Jesus is God is a cult. Contending for the faith. The gospel is good news. Paul warned that even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel that has been preached, let them be accursed. We must be mindful and careful not to change what God has said about sin and life after death. When we are dead, we are not done. Matter of fact, to be absent from the body for a believer is to be present with the Lord. The moment you breathe your last breath here, you open your eyes in front of him. Amen. That's the joy we have. That's why Paul said, comfort one another with these words. What words? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who remain alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall all be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. Comfort one another with these words, contending for the faith. The wrong songwriter had it right when he said Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's a reason that the scriptures teach that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, the message of the church. Now, briefly, the ministry of the church, what God expects. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus, our model, speaks of ministry, saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. God did not call us just to celebrate every Sunday inside the four walls of the sanctuary. There's a reason that our streets are changing for the worse. There's a reason that our young men and women are just killing each other with no thought. And they'll kill somebody and then go have a hamburger with no thought about what they've just done. Why? Because the presence of God is absent from our communities, and you can only find him in the sanctuary. But Paul said that we are living stones, and we form a habitation for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. Be careful how you use that temple God gave you. The Bible says that you are the temple of God if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. That means wherever you go, know he's there. Whatever you do, know he's watching. I want to see if I can mess some folk up. Maybe not here in the church, but those who are watching somewhere else, this might mess them up. Whatever you do in the dark, remember this. God is right there watching. He's not even alone. Your angel. I hope that messes some folk up. To the glory of God for the salvation of your soul. In the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul writes, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Here it is. For the work of ministry. Ministry is work. It's not all celebration. Ministry is work. Lifting the downtrodden is work. Fighting for justice is work. Going to the community planning board is work. Going to those school board meetings and fighting for good education for your children is work. The ministry of the church prepares disciples of Christ to do the work of ministry as they mature and grow up into him who is the head of the church, even Christ. It's still his church. That will never change. The gates of hell may rise up, but they will not prevail. I'm cutting across the field here. Finally, let's consider the morality of the church, what God commands. The ministry of the church, the message of the church, can become derailed by the morality of the church. God can't use people with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We might wonder why. Why is church changing? Maybe church is only changing in places I've been to, but not up in White Plains. Folk used to be able to walk in the sanctuary sick and leave healed and nobody lay hands on them. Folk used to love on each other. Now our church has factions. This group against that group against that group against that group. Because the devil knows this, that a house divided against itself can't stand. And God has called us to stand. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. Stand, therefore. Having the shield of faith. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And contend for the faith. And don't forget the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The songwriter encourages us. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. He said, fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. He is willing to aid you. Jesus will carry you through. I'm so glad that God gave the church power. Power to stand against the darkness of this society. I'm glad that God gave the church power. Power to bind demons. Power to resist the devil. I'm so glad that God gave the church the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Lord, did I live while trouble rise? I'll hasten to his throne. In your contending for the faith, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. He will take care of you. If you believe it, say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm bought with a price. I'm saved by grace. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Although I've got to die, I've got to hold up the bloodstained banner. Is anybody here convicted to be a contender for the faith, wants to live it? I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on God's promises. I'm going to stand in the power of his might. The church of God contending for the faith. The message of the church, the ministry of the church, and the morality of the church are interconnected. The way I live allows God to move or not. It is my prayer and my hope as you celebrate 109 years of service and ministry in this community that God blesses you, that God equips you, that God anoints you, that God moves you forward to keep contending for the faith. The battle starts in some of our families. Not all of our family members are saved. The folk that were close to me that have gone into these Hebrew followers of the Messiah. We have multiple conversations, and I still can't wrap my head around how do you go from Jesus paid it all to him I owe, to let's go back under the law of Moses. And these are intelligent people. But I remembered that there's a spirit out there that causes delusion. And if you don't stay close to the Lord, your mind can drift also. That's why you got to stay close to him, saints. Don't let anybody convince you that it's all right to leave the church. The church is going to be here when we're gone, unless the rapture comes. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Hallelujah.